The gift of God's presence permeates the scriptures and finds its culmination in the presence of God among us, living and in the flesh. God's love is steadfast from generation to generation. We are the heirs of the kingdom, the family of God. No matter what happens in this world, we are not alone. Let us read Psalm 89, verses 1 through 4, responsively. Forever I will sing the wonders of your love, Yahweh, proclaiming your faithfulness to all generations. I have made a covenant with my chosen, sworn an oath to David, my faithful one. Amen. King David didn't start out a king. He started out as the caretaker of sheep. God's anointed, whether that is a king like David or the Christ, which means anointed one, come time and again in our faith narrative from humble beginnings. For those who tend carefully to those in their care. Hear this from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verses 1 through 11. Now when the king was settled in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this very day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word of any of the tribe leaders of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep to be prince over all my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and I have cut off all your enemies before you, and I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. An evildoer shall afflict them no more as formerly. From the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, I will give you the rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house." And so it is that the child of love comes from the most humblest of families, though we are sure to be informed by the gospel writers that Joseph was from the lineage of David. While David built a house for God in his time, Mary's womb became a house of the holy in hers. She accepts the role she is given to be present with love growing inside of her. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her, and he said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God, and now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of this, his holy word. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that we would be present in this moment, that we would be present to what you would have spoken, heard, and understood. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, everybody together. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. So we're coming to the end of our journey of being present with God. And we have talked about how important it is to take and get all of the distractions away so that we can be more present in the moment, that we can listen better, that we can have better conversations with our Lord and our Savior. We talked about being present with hope, which is a foundation of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and the hope that we can give to others. Likewise, we talked about peace, being at peace in our souls, being at peace to be able to listen and to respond, and again, to be present to other people that so desperately need peace. Last week we talked about joy. The joy that we feel from having a Savior, from the joy that we receive when we are the instruments of God. We talked a little bit about joy, the joy that we feel from doing things, and it's not a joy for ourselves. It's a joy that God has worked through us. Today, we come to being present with love. This is probably the hardest of the four things of peace, love, joy. Wait a minute. Hope, peace, joy, and love. It's one of the hardest things because of the implications of it. When we take and make this quiet space where, yes, we can deal with the things in our lives, but we also are more open to God. We're open to His sustaining us. And we're also more open to the opportunities that He puts in front of us. And that's scary to some people. Because we actually have to talk to another human being that perhaps we don't know a whole heck of a lot about. The lady in the, you know, in the mothers in the store with small children, the older lady that might need some help, to chance encounters that we have on the street with people. I call those I'm flypaper for freak moments, because usually it's, hello, how are you? And they just start with their whole life stories. It's hard because being a servant of God is hard, especially nowadays in the society in which we live, where instead of saying, hello, you look like you need some assistance, how can I help? We've gone from a society like that to, nope, don't want to get involved, nope, don't want to do it. And that is why I say love is probably the hardest one of these. Because when we accept that God loves us, just like with the other three, we are not to keep it to ourselves. We are to spread it around. What does it mean to love? It's easy, you know, to love with our spouse or our significant other. It's easy to love with our children. It's easy to love with the extended family. Even our mother-in-laws, right, guys? But how do you love someone else, especially if you have to talk to them? And it's tough because, again, we don't know anything about these people that God has put in front of us. I mean, we can tell some things. You know, we can tell, are they male? Are they female? We can get a good idea as to their ethnicity. I mean, we can't tell if they're Republican, if they're Democrat, if they're pro-life or pro-choice. By the way, I hate those terms, but that's another story for that's a story for another time. We don't know. Are they a Christian? Are they a Muslim? Are they a Hindu? If they're a Christian, do they go to the right church? Do they go to a Disciple of Christ church? Or do they go to a Methodist, a Lutheran, a Presbyterian, a Seventh-day Adventist? Are they psychotic? Are they troubled? That you can maybe figure out, but it still makes it a little bit hard. But you see, that's the business that we are in. That's the business that we as followers of Christ are in. We are called, our calling is very simple, to follow Jesus wherever he leads us. There's nothing on there that says, you can help all people, but don't help someone that is dirty. Don't help someone that is an alcoholic or a drug addict. It doesn't say anywhere where you have to whip out a checklist and say, okay, before I can help you, I need you to answer some questions. And in the back of our mind, we think, and answer them correctly. Because we are loved. Because God loves everyone. Whether you're a Christian or not, I hate to burst some bubbles, but God loves his creation. And because that's the way that God loves, that means that is the way that we need to love. I remember a story from a number of years ago where there was a car accident and the lady had a head wound that was bleeding. And I believe, I want to say it was a gentleman who was a Sikh who had the turban, which is very important. And he, without hesitation, took that turban off and used it to help stop the bleeding. That man didn't pull out his checklist. Are you a Sikh? Do you practice Islam? Are you Muslim? Are you Christian? Are you a Catholic? What are your views on the Middle East? Now, he was asked later, your turban means something to you. Why did you do it? And he said, because it was needed. Without hesitation. Can we really say truthfully that that is the way that we love the people around us? Again, we are not called to be perfect. God knows that we have things that are built into us that keep us from perfection. But what God wants is us to become better, to walk along the path towards that perfection. So, in this time of Advent, in this time of Christmas, where we celebrate the babe, Jesus the Christ, God in the flesh. Love in the flesh. Let us remember that God first loved us, therefore we are to love others. Gary talked about the song Jesus Loves Me, and I'm very glad that he did. Because that to me is the gospel in a couple of words. Jesus loves me. God loves me. Even though I'm a down, no good, downright dirty sinner who doesn't do everything the way that God would have me to do it. But he still loves me. So, my friends, while we are being present, remember to have hope, to give hope, to receive God's peace and to give peace, to receive God's joy and to give it away. And most importantly, the thing that drives these three things is the fourth, love. We spread peace, joy, hope, because we have Christ's love. So, we're not going to get to where we need to be, but that should not stop us from starting the journey. We talked about, you know, it's all well and good to sit in this small group and to talk about being present. Does it really do any good? Nope. What is important is that we put the faith into action. And again, we do that because God loves us and says, go love that person without condition, with no checklist. Just go and love them. It's tough. But again, it's part of the job, my friends. Amen.